All right, today it's back to school Sunday, so it's kind of a standalone message. But today I want to talk and maybe introduce a new thought process for us when it comes to faith, when it comes to belief, when it comes to our Christianity, when it comes to spirituality. I want to introduce a new idea, and to start with, I want to introduce us to this word. And it's not an introduction. It's just kind of we're going to use this word. And if you'd put up that first slide, it's simply the word experiment. Would you say experiment? Yeah, experiment, when you think about it, if you're in school or if you're out of school, I mean, if you're in school, like the word experiment brings up some emotions, brings up some memories, brings up some fun times that you had with friends and some family and that you were doing some experiments in school. And if you're out of school, like you kind of remember some of those times where you had some really frustrating experiments, you had some different things in science classes that you took or human anatomy or whatever, and you had to do some experiments, and you remember they were sometimes really fun and sometimes they were really frustrating. And now if you're going through it on the second time through with your own kids, you realize how frustrating it is watching someone else do some experiments, right? I mean, like you see your kids do some experiments and you kind of look at them and you go, wow, how come you don't just get that? And you remember back and you're like, wait, I didn't just get it either. So you have some experiments. And I remember when I was in high school, I was homeschooled for a long time up through high school, which explains a lot of my weirdness and my awkwardness. So congratulations, you just figured something out. But in high school, I remember getting into some of the science classes, and I had never really done labs because, you know, I was homeschooled, but we got into some of the lab classes, and I remember I had two very different experiences with my lab classes. My first one, I had chemistry. Anybody like chemistry? Yeah. You're not the loud crowd. You're like yes, I do. I like chemistry. You know, like, yeah, you know, the chemistry people, I liked it because it was all in the classroom. It was all very controlled. There was no weather variables, anything like that. It was everything was measured out. It was really great. It was really nice and controlled, and you could easily tell what was happening. And then I took a second class my junior year called physics. Anybody like physics? Again, no. So we got a lot of engineering people in this church. You're like, no, I haven't liked physics in a long time. That's good. But I remember getting in physics, and I remember where chemistry was all controlled and it was in the classroom. Physics, everything happened outside of the classroom, and it was a lot of stuff that you had to do outside. And I grew up in Wisconsin where it's windy. It's either windy, cold, raining, or some combination of all three. And that makes for some difficult outdoor conditions to do experiments in. And so I remember I remember liking chemistry, but I hated physics, except that I liked physics because my lab partner was really cute. And I remember thinking, you know what? I can endure physics if my lab partner is cute, but if she wasn't cute, I don't know if I'd stay in this class. And so I remember we had these experiments, and most of the time it was outside of school and after school, and we had to do it outside the class building and outside of a house. And so I remember specifically one of these experiments that was really, really frustrating. We had three rockets, and each of them had a little bit of different type of propulsion thing that we had to build, and the whole goal of the thing was to determine which of these rockets, where which propulsion system was the best propulsion system to get this rocket off the ground and highest and all this kind of stuff. And so I remember my lab partner, she lived on a lake nearby, and so we went to her house, and they had some property on the lake, and as you do when you're a high school junior, we waited till the last day before the project was due, before the lab report was due. We waited till the very last day, and we went out to the lake, and we went out to her property, and of course, it was about 45-mile-an-hour winds, a little bit rainy, and we're sitting there going, okay, our job is to somehow get these rockets to go high enough off the ground that we can actually test and figure out which one is the best one. And so we got them all together. We put the first one down, and the first one, it was so amazing, it didn't even get off the ground. It just fell over. Okay? Again, so we were like, okay, first one, didn't work at all, fell over. Second one, we put it down, and it had like a little bit bigger propulsion thing on it, and it got 3 feet off the ground before going immediately sideways and into the lake. So we said, second one, went about 3 feet off the ground, kind of slow, then went sideways into the lake. Third one, let's test this one out. This one must be the good one. Third one, it went 6 feet off the ground before taking an immediate sideways turn and going right into the lake. So the question is, which of these propulsion systems is the best one for getting the rocket, you know, to help the rocket? And so we're going, this is really frustrating. This is really annoying. And we decided we're going to be really sarcastic. And so we just put, our lab report was, the first propulsion system is the best because we still have that rocket. Here's $10 to replace the ones that are in the lake. I mean, that was my experience with experimenting in chemistry and in physics and all that kind of stuff. And so here's the thing. Whatever that word does for you, chances are, again, it brings up some memories of some fun times in classes, brings up some memories of some frustrating times in classes. And let's just be honest, for some of us, that word experiment, it brings up some memories where you didn't really remember much of class because of some experimenting that you did outside of class, right? Like, uncomfortable laughter. Can I laugh at that? I don't know. Like when you think of it, there was some stuff that had happened outside of class. It had nothing to do with class, but you were experimenting, and you thought, woo, I'm experimenting. I don't remember much of what's happening in class because, I just don't remember it. And that's interesting, and that's one way to think about experimenting. But today, the reason I bring this word up is I want to talk about a different type of experimenting, not the move to Colorado type of experiment, not the, ride down a mountain as fast as you can and hope you don't die at the end type of experiment. I want to talk about what experiments are, and I want to talk about how it relates to our faith. So if you'd put up that next slide, the definition of what an experiment is, this is the noun. There's a noun and a verb form of this, and so I like to put them together, and you could call it a NURB. But the noun form is it's a test, a trial, or a tentative procedure, an active operation for, what's that yellow part? For the purpose of discovering something that's unknown or of testing a principle, a supposition, etc. So it's this idea that when you perform an experiment, a noun experiment, you're saying like, look, this, it's testing, it's trying something, it's like doing something. I don't know exactly how it's going to turn out. I'm trying to discover something that I don't know by doing something new. That's what the experiment is. If you'd put up the next one, the verb of this is to try or test, especially in order to discover or prove something. Again, so when you are experimenting or when you are performing an experiment, you are trying to discover something that you do not yet know. You're trying to figure out something that you have not yet experienced. You are trying to learn something. You're trying to go forward. You're trying to move humanity forward or move your own knowledge forward. That's what an experiment is. And that's what an experiment does. Now, the reason I talk about that is that I think there's a type of experimenting when it comes to Christianity that many of us have missed, that many of us have forgotten, that when people think about Christianity, when people think of religion, when people think of, Christians, they don't think of the word experimenting, but I think that maybe, just maybe, they should. Because I think there's something that we should be doing when it comes to experimenting with our faith and moving forward with our faith that we should be known for. And I want to say simply this, that I think maybe this year, God wants to do something in you and through you, and maybe God wants to grow you, and maybe, just maybe, God wants to grow you by doing some experiments in your relationship with Him. Does that make sense? That I think it's maybe possible that God wants to do something in you, that God wants to grow you, that God wants to do something through you, but for God to do something through you or to grow you or to do something new in you, He's going to have to do something new in your life first. He's going to have to introduce something. And if you know anything about experiments, there's three parts of an experiment. There's a constant, there's a variable, and there's a result. Can you say constant? Say variable. There's a result. So you got a constant. The constant is the thing that doesn't change. The constant is that, you know what? Hey, you're going to live life this year no matter what. You're going to live life, and you're going to live in Las Cruces, or you're going to live in New Mexico, you're going to live somewhere. It's going to be warm. It's going to be warmer than if you lived in Wisconsin like my family. You're going to be the constant. The variable is the thing that changes. And in experimental theory, you only change one variable at a time, right? You don't change multiple variables. You don't go, let's change this and this and this and this and let's see what happens, because you can't tell what caused the change. So you've got a variable, and in your life, you're going to be the constant, but there may be some variables this year that God wants to introduce, something new that you haven't experienced something before, something that's going to stretch you in a way that you haven't been stretched before, something that's going to cause you to do something, a new habit that you're going to develop in your life, that there's something that God wants to do in you, and in order to do something in you, He has to put something in you first. He has to change something in your life first. So we got a constant, and we got a variable, and we got a result. Now, here's a question for us nerds, for us people who like to think about this stuff like this. If you have a constant, but you don't have a variable, do you still have a result? Yeah. In your life, you can change nothing. You cannot introduce anything new. You cannot start any new habits. You cannot push yourself forward. And you'll still have a result. It'll just look exactly the way your life looks now. And here's the thing. For some of you, your faith is strong. Your faith is good. Your faith is amazing. For some of you, you'd say, I'm kind of somewhere in the middle. And for some of you, you'd say, I'm not really a person of any faith at all. I don't know that I'm a person of faith in any way, shape, or form. And here's the thing. If you don't add any variable to your life, this time next year, you will probably be in about the same exact place that you are right now. Good, bad, ugly, amazing, terrible, whatever place you're in right now, if you add no variable to your life will probably look exactly the same. But what I'm saying today is simply this, that I think that God may just want to move you forward. I think God wants to instill in you something new so that he can do something new through you. And so when I talk about this, what we're ultimately talking today is an approach and a mindset that I want to call experimental Christianity. Experimental Christianity. Now you're like, whoa, I don't know. Like that's, I don't think we're supposed to do that. Are we supposed to think about variables and constants? And I don't know, are we supposed to think about that? Here's what I refer to when I made up this definition because I think I made up the term. But experimental Christianity is simply this. It's a curious and an adventurous faith to see what new thing God may want to do in us and through us as we follow Jesus. Does that make sense? That an experimental Christianity simply says this, look, I'm going to be curious. I want to know where God might want to take me. I want to know what God might want to do through me. I want to see what God does in a life fully surrendered to him. Like I want to know what he might do. So I'm curious and I'm adventurous enough that I'm just going to take the next step. And I'm going to take the next step. And I'm going to take the next step. And I'm going to take the next step. And I may not know exactly where it's going, but that's part of the excitement, isn't it? So experimental Christianity, it's a curious and an adventurous faith saying, look, God, I don't know what it is that you want to do, but I don't want to miss it. I mean, I don't want to miss it because I'm stubborn. I don't want to miss it because I just don't want to move. I'm willing to move, and I'm curious enough to see what happens that I'm going to move. I want us to be a church that's ready to be people who are saying, look, I want to start some spiritual experiments in my life. I'm curious. I'm adventurous. And let's just be honest. When you think of Christians or when you think of what most people think of Christians, do you think most people think Christians are curious? No. Most people think, well, Christians, that's that group of people. They think they've got it all figured out. When people think of Christians, do they think of adventurous? No, they think of those people who like to sit on church pews and drink some communion, and it's got to be grape juice. Not, it's not curious, it's not adventurous. But I think there's an approach to Christianity. I think there's an approach to our relationship with God that God does not want us to sit still, to stay still, to settle for stories of what he did in the past. But I think there's a version that says, I'm not going to settle for any of that. I want to step into the new thing that God wants to do in me and the new thing that God wants to do through me. And here's the great thing. I don't think this is new to me. I think I maybe put some words together that maybe people haven't put together before. But I want to read from a book called Hebrews because this is where I think we get this idea. This is where this idea of experimental Christianity comes from. This is where the idea of moving forward and stepping forward and doing something new and doing something challenging and doing something stretching and doing something that we haven't done before to experience what God has new for us. Here's where this comes from. It comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. And so I'm just going to start reading this and we're going to stop and explain it a couple points along the way. So here's where we go. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 says this. So let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on. Would you say go on? Say, let us go on. Let's say that together. Let us go on. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. You don't need further instruction about baptisms, the laying out of hands, the resurrection of death, and eternal judgment. And so, God willing, we will, what's that next part? We'll move forward. And so, God willing, we will move forward to what's the next part? To further understanding. So what does God want to do in you? What does God want to do in me? What does God want to do in us? He wants us to not settle. He wants us to not stay still. He doesn't want us to just keep going over the same things that we've been going over for the last year, the last 2 years, the last 3 years, the last 4 years. He wants us not to settle, not to stay still. He wants us to move forward. He wants us to move forward to further understanding. In other words, God wants us to move from a place where, hey, here's where I am. Here's where I've been. Here's what I've been doing. Here's who I am today. He says, look, God wants you to move forward. God wants you to take a step. God wants you to not leave today the same that you came in today. God wants you to not be the same person Tuesday that you were on Monday. God wants you to not be the same person in November that you are in August. Does that make sense? That God wants you to move forward to further understanding, not necessarily just to more knowledge, but he wants you to know him more. Does that make sense? Further understanding, not mean that you simply know more information, but further understanding of the person of who God is. God wants you to move forward. He doesn't want you to stay the same. He doesn't want you to settle for stories of the past. He wants you to move forward to something new and to become someone new. So he wants you to become a person who's willing to say, hey, I want to move forward. I want to advance. I want to go on. I want to do something new. I want to see God do something new. I don't want to stay stuck. I want to move forward. And so here's the thing. Here's the amazing news there. We say this at the beginning of our service just to remind everybody about what we're doing. We say this, that it's our hope that as a church on a Sunday morning, it's our hope that when you leave, you're a better follower of Jesus Christ than when you came in. And what that means, we kind of say this, like, look, people come from all kinds of places in their spiritual journey. People come from all kinds of places in relationship to God. For some of you, you came in today and you're not really a person of faith, and you're maybe a person who kind of, at one point you were a person of faith, maybe you walked away, maybe you're a person who's kind of like just taking your first steps back towards faith, or maybe towards faith for the first time in your life, or maybe you were kind of part of a different religion and now you're kind of looking at faith a different way, you're approaching God and Christianity. And for you, here's what I want to say. I'm so glad you're here. I think being in a place like this where you talk about spiritual things on a Sunday morning, that's a spiritual step. That's a big step. You're a curious, adventurous, you're an experimental Christian, even if you're not a Christian yet. You're taking a step towards God. I'm so glad that you're here and you're being curious. For some of you, you've been a believer for a year or for 2 years or 3 years, and you're kind of going, yeah, I don't know, maybe I feel like I've gone as far as I can go, and maybe there's a small step that God wants you to take that actually opens up big doors for you. For some of you, you've been a believer for 15, 20, 25, 30 years. You've been a believer almost as long as you've been alive. Like you came out of the womb and you were singing from the hymnal. I don't know how that happened, but I mean, like, you've been a believer for a long time. And sometimes I think when you get to a certain place, and I know I feel this sometimes, I'm 34. I grew up in church. I mean, I grew up on a church pew. My parents were on the church board, which I mean, whatever that is. But I mean, like I've been a Christian for so long. There's times I can feel like, have I gone as far as I can go? Have I, like, is there still something left for me? I mean, I'm 34. Have I been, like, am I as far as I'm going to go? And I just want to say, wherever we are, whether it's, you know, a person just taking your first steps, or you've been a believer for a year, two, three, four, whatever it is, or you've been a believer for 30, 40, 50 years, I believe there is a next step for you. And I believe there is a next step that it unlocks something about who God is in your life, who God wants to be in your life, and what kind of relationship God wants to have with you, and what kind of influence on the world God wants to have through you. Does that make sense? Everyone has a next step. And every next step we take is an experiment to see what God just might do in our lives if we follow him and stay obedient to his next steps. God wants us to advance, to go on, to move forward to a new understanding of what he wants to do in our lives and how he wants to work through our lives. Now, going forward, here's the good news about that. God knows you. God knows where you're at. God knows where your faith is in him. God knows what your relationship has looked like with him. God knows where you have been. He knows your need, and he knows the next step that you need to take. He's not going to call Cheyenne and say, hey, Cheyenne, guess what? I want you to take Chris's next step. My next step and Cheyenne's next step are going to look different. Does that make sense? Every person, God knows who you are, and he knows your next step. And when God calls you to your next step, the best response that we can take is to say yes. To say yes and to experiment and to be willing to be curious and adventurous to follow whatever step God has for us. The passage goes on starting in verse 9. It says this, dear friends, even though we're talking this way, we really don't believe it applies to you. We are confident that you are meant for better things, things that come with salvation. Now, let's just pause for a second there. Isn't it good to know that you were meant for better things? That wherever you're, I mean, life may be going great right now, and you were meant for better things than the great life that you have going right now. Life may be really difficult right now. And if you're in a place where life is really difficult right now, that's very reassuring that you were made for better than the difficult things that you're going through right now. Wherever you are, if life is just kind of, you were meant for better things. If you have been through like the best situation, the best 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, and you feel as close to God as you think anyone could ever feel, you were meant for better things. Wherever you're at, you were meant for better things, and God has those things for you. If you're tired, you were meant for better things. If you're depressed, if you're anxious, you were meant for better things. If you're just nervous and you're thinking, I'm worried, 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 there's a peace that passes understanding that you were meant for better things. Verse 10 says this, for God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love to him by caring for other believers as you still do. Now, this is big. This is a big thing. God is not unjust. Would you say God is not unjust? God is not unjust. Here's what this translates to in the context of this scripture. Look, God is not unjust, and that's a big idea on a global level, but what this really means in the context of this scripture, look, God is just. He's calling you forward. He's calling you into your next step. He's calling you into your next season. He's calling you to take the next step, to take the next step, to take the next step, to take the next step. And when God is calling you to take the next step, take the next step, he's not unjust. In other words, he's not going to pull the rug out from under you. You can trust that when you take the next step that he's calling you toward, you can take it with confidence, knowing that he has the better things for you than what you're experiencing right now. Does that make sense? God is not unjust. God can be trusted that when he calls you to take a next step, the foundation, the ground that you are about to step on, it's firm, because God is not unjust. He doesn't pull the rug out under us. If he's calling us to something, what he's calling us to is firm. It's secure. It moves us closer to him. It moves us forward. God doesn't call us to take a next step that moves us backward. Does that make sense? God is not unjust. And when he calls us to take a step forward, it's to move us forward. Then the passage goes on and finishes up this way. Verse 11, it says, our great desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts, in order to make certain that what you hope for will come true. Then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and endurance. Now, that's an important thing. Then you will not become spiritually what? Dull, and you will not become spiritually indifferent. Now, here's the thing. I think we've all known some Christians in our world and in our lifetime where we'd say, wow, they're Christians. They show up to church every Sunday. They're kind of spiritually dull. And that's not dull in like they're boring people. That means that they're not really that effective at what they're doing. They're a knife that's been dulled. They were working. They didn't stay sharp. And so now they're dull and they're not really accomplishing much. And I think we've all seen Christians that were just kind of indifferent, like, cool, I'm going to heaven. I don't really care if anybody goes with me. Whatever. Me and God, we're good. We got an understanding. And the writer of Hebrews says, look, this is the way to avoid becoming spiritually dull and spiritually indifferent. This is the way. An experimental, a curious, an adventurous faith that says, God, I'm open to whatever. I'm open to whatever step you're calling me towards. I'm open. I mean, God, you said, taste and see that the Lord is good. I have to taste in order to see. You know, God, you say, if you seek me, you'll find me. I have to seek you, and then I'll find you. I mean, God, if there's a step that I can take that draws me closer to you, I'll do it. And God says, look, if you want to avoid becoming spiritually dull, if you want to avoid becoming spiritually indifferent, where you just don't care, and you don't care that you're ineffective, if you want to avoid that, the way to do it is to simply keep taking the next step and the next step and the next step and the next step, because God can be trusted that when he calls you to take a step forward, it's going to move you forward. Isn't that good? Isn't that an approach to faith that makes us just kind of go, yeah. I mean, when you first came to faith, when you first became a believer, if you've taken that step, when you first became a Christian, I mean, there was nothing that you wouldn't do. If God had said, look, go jump off a mountain, you're like, which one? If he had said, swim the Rio Grande, you'd be like, let me get a snorkel. You know, whatever it was, you would have just been like, yes. And over the course of our lifetime, sometimes we get to a point where we go, I don't know. I'm not sure. I think I'm kind of content with where I've been. And the version of the person who came to faith would look at the version of you that is unwilling to take a step forward now and just kind of go, what happened to you? Because God calls us to an adventurous and a curious faith that says, I'm willing to take an experiment. And if God says to do this, I'm going to place my life in his hands. I'm going to place my life on him. I'm going to trust that he's going to see me through and he's going to do something in my heart and my life. And I only get to see the result if I change the variable. So I'm willing to do it because I don't want to become spiritually dull and I don't want to become indifferent. So here's the bottom line. This year, I think God wants to grow you through some God-ordered experiments in your life. I think God wants to grow you. I think God wants to take you to new places of understanding with him and influence with others and influence in your own family. I think God wants to do something new in your heart and in your life. God wants to grow you, and he wants to grow you by you taking the steps that he has called you to take. Some God-ordered experiments in your life. Now, I don't know exactly what that looks like, but I'd love to get you started with a few ideas today. A few ideas of some experiments that God may want to take, that may be calling you to take as you move forward towards him. See, here's a good question that I think some of us need to wrestle to the ground. How close to God can you grow in the next 12 months? I mean, you're thinking like, okay, I mean, I'm like a Christian already. Like, I sort of like, I pray sometimes, like read my Bible sometimes. Like, I don't know, you know, like I know some stuff about God. But here's the thing. We believe in our church, we believe there's a difference between knowing about God and knowing God. We believe there's a difference between being a person who has read the Bible to say you read the Bible and being a person who has read the Bible to understand the person who is behind the Bible. So here's the thing. How close to God could you grow in the next 12 months? What's the variable? The variable may be that you actually say, you know what? Hey, in the next 12 months, I'm going to read my Bible from the beginning to the end. And where maybe you say, hey, I'm going to read the Gospels. This next month, I'm going to read the Gospels. Here's the thing. If you say, I'm going to read it from beginning to end, let me just tell you. Start at Genesis, go through half of Exodus, and then skip the next 2.5 books, okay? Because you will be bored out of your mind. Come back, do those after you've read all the other stuff that's story and interesting. Like do that first, and then be like, now, Leviticus, I'm going to make you mine. Like I'm going to take you on. I mean, here's the thing. How close to God could you grow if you decided to read your Bible this next year and read it not just to say you've done it, but read it to say, I want to understand the person who's behind the stories, the God behind the stories, the God behind the laws, the God behind everything. I want to understand the God behind it. How close to God could you grow if you decided, you know what, every single day this year, I'm gonna wake up 5 minutes early, 10 minutes early, and I'm going to spend 10 minutes early or 5 minutes early just spending some time getting to know God and talking to him and having a conversation with him through prayer. I want to grow close to God. Maybe it means that once a week or once a month, you implement a day of fasting. And you think, whoa, fasting? What does that mean? What does that look like? Maybe that you give up some food or you give up a lunch or you stay off your cell phone for a day. You're like, how would I survive? I don't know. But I mean, you implement fasting that you say, look, God, I want you more than I want the food. I want you more than I want my cell phone. I just simply want to know you more than I want that. And so I'm going to spend the time that I would normally spend with that, spending time with you. How close to God could you grow in the next 12 months if you decided to take a step and introduce one of those variables in your life? Here's another question. How connected can I feel to the people that God has placed around me if I decide to change something up? See, for some of us, let's be honest, you've been a believer for a long time, but you have been disconnected from the people that God has placed around you. I just believe this with my whole heart. God places people in our lives for seasons and for reasons. There are things that God wants to do in your life that someone is going to speak to you, that someone's going to speak about you, that someone's going to speak through your life, and you may miss it if you're not connected with them. So a couple variables that you may want to change up here. I think it's important that we listen to the right and the wise voices that God has put around us. See, here's the thing. You know there's some people that God has put around you that they're not the right voices that you should be listening to. And you're listening to the wrong voices. You know there's some voices that God has around you, and they're fun voices, and they're encouraging voices, but they're not always wise voices. And when it comes to the voices around you, I want to just encourage us. What if we just said, you know what, I'm not going to listen to those other voices. They're going to be fun. They're going to be encouraging. They're going to tell me to do some stupid stuff. And then I'm going to actually listen to the right voices. I'm going to listen to the wise voices. For some of you, it may be that you need to up your vulnerability factor. Guys, let me just challenge you here. Guys, we like to act like everything's okay. I'm good. You good? You haven't tough? I'm good. I'm good. And secretly, you're kind of falling apart on the inside. But you got to keep up appearances, and you got to stay tough, and you've got to act like you've got it all figured out. But what if you actually had someone in your life that you said, you know what, things aren't going that great. I'm not doing so well. I feel like I'm kind of drifting spiritually. I feel like I'm kind of drifting in my marriage. What if you had a person that you could actually be vulnerable with and be connected because you're sharing your life? It's not just them sharing their life. And here's another one, just for free. What if you listened as much as you talk? See, for some of us, we are talkers. Guess what I am? I'm a talker. Guess what I do for a living? I talk. And guess what I do sometimes in my relationships? I talk, and I talk, and I talk, and I talk, and I fail to listen. And so for Chris, and maybe for some of you, the challenge, would we be willing to listen as much as we talk? Here's another one. How much influence can I have for God? How much can I influence people for God in the next 12 months? What if my prayers and my boldness and my conversations at work and my conversations in my neighborhood, what if that was really about trying to lead people closer to God? How much influence could I gain for God in the next 12 months? And then finally, how can I be the best husband, wife, parent that God wants me to be, that God created you to be in your family? Maybe it simply means getting off of work a little bit earlier, making sure that it's a priority to be home for dinner. Maybe it's simply saying, look, when I'm around my kids, my phone is in a different room and I'm engaging with my kids. When my kids need help with their homework, I'm not like, hey, honey, kid needs help with their homework again and it's math and you know I'm not good at math. I mean, like, you don't avoid the things because you don't like the things. You say, hey, this is a chance to engage with my child. And so you take the opportunity. Maybe it's that there's been a drift in your marriage and you've drifted apart and you were so close and so close and so close and so close and you got married and it's like started to drift a little bit. And before long, you're like, who's this person that I'm married to? What if you decided to re-engage and work for that closeness that you experienced at the beginning? What might God want to do with the variables in your life this year? I think God wants to do some big things. I think God wants to grow you in ways that haven't experienced in a long time. I think God may want to show you something that you haven't seen yet. I think God may want to influence someone through you that no one else is going to influence, and you have the opportunity. I think God wants to do something big, and I think God wants to show you something big. I think what God wants to do through you is going to be something big. But we're not going to see the big things unless we're willing to take the small steps. Does that make sense? So let's be people who say, look, I'm curious. I'm adventurous. I want to take whatever step God has for me, and I'm just going to run with it. I'm going to run as hard as I can. What if it's a small step, big step, medium step, whatever the step is, I'm just willing to take the step because I'm curious, because I'm adventurous, and I'm not afraid of a little experiment because I know God does big things through little experiments. That's the amazing news of what we have the opportunity to do as we're willing to be experimental with our faith in God. Let's pray. Today, as we go to prayer, maybe there's someone here who, when you think about your next step, you know your next step is to actually take the step of faith and return to God and return to faith in God and put your trust in Jesus Christ. The great news of that is it really is as simple as looking to what Jesus Christ did on the cross and what he did when he came out of the grave, that he died for your sins, that he rose from the grave to offer you a new life and a new chance at a better life and a reconnection with God. That's what God offers to you. That's what God offers to us. And today, if you need to take that step, I just simply want to give you an opportunity as we close service today. So I'm going to count to three, and if that's you, if you need to take that step, I just want to give you an opportunity to raise your hand, and we're going to pray a prayer that there's nothing special about it, but I just want to give you the opportunity. So on the count of three, if that's you, you need to take that step. Ready? One, two, three. If that's you, go ahead and throw your hands up. I see hands going up all over the room. Keep them up just a little bit so I can make sure I get time to see them. That's so awesome. Thank you guys so much. You can put your hands down. And so today we're going to pray as we close service, and I just want to encourage you, if you just raised your hand, don't let this be my prayer. You make this your opportunity to reconnect with your Heavenly Father. Let's pray. God, thank you so much that you're good. Thank you so much that you call us to take our next step. Thank you so much that you call us to follow you into whatever adventure you have for us. God, I pray that today you would help us to have a curious faith that's willing to adventure and willing to take whatever step you have. And God, I pray that as we take the simple steps, the difficult steps, the big steps, the small steps, whatever it looks like, God, as we take those little steps, God, you would do big things through our little experiments. And God, that you would do big things in our faith, you would do big things in our life, you do big things in our hearts, and you would do big things through us to touch people for you, to reach people for you, to help people reconnect to you. God, we just say today that we love you, we want to know you, we want to come to a new understanding of you. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.